Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message from Michael Salisbury.
Thanks. Well, here we go. As Artie said, don't stuff it up. Thanks, Artie. It was good. I was a little nervous until you gave me that encouragement, mate. I appreciate it. Really settled me down nicely. I can tell. For those of you who have come to church over the last 12 months and are wondering why the guy who was sitting down the back for the last 12 months is suddenly here, as Phil said, Holly and Phil and Nat and Benny were the crew that started Compass many, many years ago, started in our lounge room with a couple of plastic garden chairs. A little keyboard that we bought from Audi for $20 that had batteries in it and sounded atrocious, but so did we, so it was fine. Worked out beautifully. About 14 months ago, I really felt like God was prompting me quite clearly to take some time off. As Phil said, he was my youth pastor. I started only going to youth because I was terrified of him, and he used to ring me up and say, "Are you coming to youth?" and then hang up before I could say no. I was a little scared of what he'd do to me if I didn't go, and so I just kept going, and then I discovered that I might keep coming, and then started helping out, and we've kind of been doing stuff ever since at a pretty ferocious pace. And so about 14 months ago, I just felt like God was kind of suggesting rather strongly to me that I needed to take a little bit of time off from doing stuff in the churches I had for the 17 years beforehand. And as I was kind of arguing and wrestling that the process through with God, he tricked me. He said to me, "You need to take some time off and just spend some time with your family and have a year that's all about your family and invest in that and make that just create a bit more space for that." And so I thought, okay, well, I can't really argue with that. You do what you do for your kids. And that seems like a good idea, so I did that. He knew that it wasn't really about that. He knew what was coming up in the next 12 months, which for me was has been one of the more challenging 12 months of my life. We had a personal training studio that had been going for quite a while, and we were with another guy who we had the business together, and we'd been negotiating a new lease, and it was all going swimmingly, and we got to a point at the start about Feb of last year where quite quickly the lease negotiations with the company that we were trying to work with broke down, and it ended up us having to close our business quite quickly, and then the ensuing kind of 9 months became a bit of a legal minefield, which was unexpected and stressful and challenging and kind of unpleasant. I'm not really all over the whole legal thing. I knew a couple of little things. I thought we'd be all right, and it proved to be a bit of a challenge. And we found ourselves going to visit some of those lawyers that charge way too much, and you know, up on the 40th floor in Collins Street where, you know, their foyer was bigger than our entire gym, and I was trying to work out, wow, how much they might need to charge to pay per square metre, and it was a lot. when we met with a lawyer and she said, "You want some water?" I wondered how much I was being charged for the water, which we got out of the tap. But it was certainly a big challenge. And so for all of everyone who knew what was going on and was praying for Holly and I, and all of you who had no idea what was going on but praying for Holly and I just want to say thank you. We noticed it and we appreciated it. And throughout that process, I had many opportunities to answer, I guess, the question, which was, do I really believe what I've been saying I believe for the last 20 years? Do I really believe God's got it under control? Do I really believe God's going to look after my family? Or have I just been saying it? It was kind of a bit of a when the rubber hits the road kind of moment for me. Most of the time, I was quite confident God had it under control. Every now and again, I had a few minutes where I thought maybe he'd forgotten or lost his mind. But as the process went along, it kind of it certainly didn't work out the way I thought it was, and I had given God numerous ideas on how he could fix it. strangely enough, he wasn't open to any of them. But it certainly, he provided in the most unusual way at the very, very last minute, when I actually thought the whole thing had turned into a screaming heap. God provided a pretty miraculous way out for Holly and I. So we were very thankful for that. But I just want to say thank you to you guys for praying. But it's certainly been an interesting journey for us over the last kind of 12 months. And it's been a great opportunity to just to see for us that question, whether we really, really believe in who God is and all that he says. And I guess out of it, I had a few moments where God just gently reminded me that maybe life isn't all about me, which was confronting, to say the least. And I had a few moments where I kind of forgot God was there and he had to remind me that he was. He brought me back to some of those scriptures, and I was kind of hung on to those scriptures, like when Jacob is on his way back to meet his brother, and he's really stressed out, and he's trying to reconcile with his brother, and he just, you know, in the years before, ripped his brother off completely, and his brother, the last time he saw him, tried to kill him, and so he's going back, and he's going to try and reconcile, and he's pretty stressed out, and he's on the journey, and just, the night or two before he meets his brother, he has this dream, and he has this vision, and he wakes up, and he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was unaware. And it just really reminded me that God is there. Whether we feel him or not, whether we're aware of him or not, he is there. That he goes before us to prepare the way. He goes after us to get our back, and he walks beside us. And he kind of just reminded me that he is always there, whether you feel it or not. So whatever you're facing, he is there. And I can't tell you why I went through the challenges I did. Maybe it was my own poor decision making. Maybe it was a test. I don't know. Sometimes I look at the stories in the Bible, and you look at Abraham having to go up and sacrifice his son, and then God providing just at the last minute. You know, and I always think it's fine when we read those stories because we know what the end of the story is, right? So we read them and we go, we're reading it. We go, it's cool, Abraham. It's fine. We know there's a little lamb up the top. So you're good. Just keep going. But Abraham didn't know that in the middle of the story. You know, so for the last 12 months, that chapter, I can say, hey, it worked out pretty well in the midst of it. I didn't know what was going to happen. But we know God's got our back. And sometimes he reminds us of us. And sometimes I think when we're in a test, he doesn't actually provide the answer, because that's the point of a test, that he doesn't often, you don't often get the answers in the middle of the test, right? You've got to wait till the end. And the test is about seeing what you're made of and seeing where your faith is and stuff. So sometimes I think we face challenges as a test. And sometimes God, in his reminding me that life is not all about me and my own comfort, said maybe I went through some of the things I did so he could be glorified. If you've got your Bible, we'll read out of John 9. The story is Jesus heals a man born blind. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Teacher, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it a result of his sins or the sins of his parents? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sin, Jesus answered. He was born blind so the power of God could be seen and the Father could be glorified. All of us must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent me, because there is little time left before the night falls and all work comes to an end. But while I am still here in the world, I am the light of the world. He spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and smoothed the mud over the blind man's eyes. He said, go and wash in the pool. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as the blind beggar said, is this the same man, that beggar who was blind? Some said he was, others said no, but surely he looks like him. And the beggar kept saying, I am the same man. They asked, who healed you? What happened? And he told them, the man they called Jesus made mud, smoothed it over my eyes and told me, go and wash off the mud. I went and washed, and now I can see. Where is he now, they asked. He said, I have no idea. I've been blind. Didn't say that, really. That's just what I would have said. Then, we've got different Bibles. This may be an Adventure Kids Bible. Then they took the man to the Pharisees. Now, as it happened, Jesus had healed the man on the Sabbath. Do you think it was just as it happened, or do you think Jesus had a plan? Like, Jesus has always got a plan, right? Like, I look at, there's the same kind of theme in Lazarus. We know the story. Lazarus dies and they send for Jesus. Jesus doesn't come in time, apparently. The sisters, Mary and Martha, are really upset. And then Jesus comes and Lazarus has been dead for a few days. And Jesus said, out you hop. And he comes out and brings him back to life. And the disciples say to him, teacher, you know, Mary and Martha have let you know your friend Lazarus is really sick. Like, we need to get there. And Jesus heard about it and said, it's fine. Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, this will happen for the glory of God. So sometimes maybe we go through things so that God can be glorified at the end. In one of my more whingy moments with God last year, I was letting him know how I felt and how unimpressed I was with his decision-making processes. And, you know, and he reminded me that if it wasn't for what I'd experienced, I wouldn't have had some of the opportunities that I'd had. We've got our neighbours we're really good friends with. He is very strongly anti-God. Over the last 6 years that we've been knowing him, he has remained quite true to that. So we're quite good friends, but he's never wanted to hear about faith. He doesn't want to know about it. But throughout this process, I'd kind of kept him informed of where we were at and what was happening and stuff. And we also had an opportunity to bless them financially in their time of need. And it was in the midst of us having a pretty large sum of money being claimed against us and the midst of the legal battle. And he said to me, I can't take the money that we were giving them. And we had this two-hour conversation about why I believe God will have everything under control for my family. And two or three times throughout the year, I just got windows of opportunity to share with him about my faith and who God is and why I think he is. And in one of my more whingy moments towards the end of the year, when I was really letting God know how unimpressed with this whole situation I was, he reminded me that if I hadn't been going through this, then my neighbour Lyle would have never heard potentially about what was going on. So I just want to encourage you in whatever you're facing to trust that God has it under control. He knows the end of the story. He knows the challenges you face, that he is always by your side, that he has gone before you to prepare the way, and that he will be glorified. Throughout the process, I had Jessie, my daughter, pray for me a fair bit because she really believes that when she prays, God listens. She is a constant challenge to me that she just thinks that God answers her prayers, and she's largely right. She's my secret weapon at Christmas time. You know when you go to the shops and you desperately need a car park? Just take Jessie. I swear, I'll rent her out. Didn't really come out the way I thought it would. I'm going to delete that from the podcast, thanks, boys. But we go to the shops and you drive in, there's no car parks, and you go, Jess, can you pray for a car park? And she goes, dear God, we really need a car park, amen. And within 30 seconds, you get a car park. And it happens every single time. It is astounding. But she just believes when she prays, God listens. Some of you might have heard this story, but we had this competition going last summer. And we just called it the Bubble O'Bill competition, which was me and Jesse and Harry go down and buy Bubble O'Bills, which are those the cowboy ice creams with the chewy gum nose. And the chewy comes in 6 different colours. So you got to try and guess like what colour the nose is before you open up the packet. And whoever guesses right is the winner. So you get to sing the I Am the Champion song in the car. it's important to win. I take Jesse and Harry, and we go to get the Bubble O'Bills. And before we go in, Jesse goes, what colour? And I said, I want a blue one. Harry wanted a green one. And Ryan wasn't there. We left him at home because he makes too much mess. Jessie said, I want a pink one. And she goes, all right. I go, cool, let's go get him. She goes, hang on, I'm going to pray. I go, what? She goes, I'm going to pray that we get the colours we want. And look, I was at a little conflict because, like, I went, God, you know, it's great that she thinks you're going to listen to that, but I don't really want her to be disappointed when it doesn't happen. So I just kind of ignored it. We went in, we grabbed three Buffalo Bills. Ye of little faith. So we get three Buffalo Bills, we grab them, we pay for them, we go out to the car. I hand them out, we open them up. Everyone got the colours she wanted. All of us got the colour we wanted. And she goes, I said something. She goes, well, of course, I prayed. I go, okay. And I was working out in my head, like, mathematically, like, if there's 100 Buffalo Bills in the freezer and we all grab that, like, what is the random chance of that happening? Next weekend, we play the Buffalo Bill game again. We took our neighbour, this time, Jesse's little friend Sam. And we get in the car before we go in. We ask what colour you want to get. And Sam's in the car. Sam doesn't go to church. Sam's our neighbour's kid. And Jesse goes, well, I'm just going to pray for the right colours. And Sam goes, what? Jesse goes, well, I'm going to ask God that we all get the colours we want. Sam goes, God's not real. Jesse goes, well, he actually is. You're wrong. Sam goes, I'm not wrong. So Jesse prays. We go in, we get the ice creams, come back out, we open them up. I get the colour I want. Jesse gets the colour she wanted. Harry got the colour he wanted. Sam got a pink one. Not the colour he wanted. And when he opened it up, it was pink. Jesse goes, that's because you don't believe in God. Now, I don't want to have some kind of theological argument about whether God answers Buffalo Bill prayers or not, because it's convoluted and complicated. But all I'm saying is, my daughter believes that when she prays, God answers. When she prays, God listens. And for us, I wonder when it was that we lost that childlike belief in the power of prayer. Harry, so I'd love to just state my parenting claim on raising faith-filled kids on Jessie, because she's a gun. Harry's not so sure about the whole God thing. Harry's 99% sure a zombie exists because Sam said his dad saw one once. So, Harry, yeah, on God, yes, on zombies, but we're working on it. So I've been trying to figure out ways to just gently engage Harry with the whole God thing, and he's not very excited by it. And then I started telling him the other day just a few cool stories out of the Bible and a few boy stories. Like, the Bible's got some great boy stories. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Judges 3. And again, I'm not saying this is the right way to parent. I'm just saying, hey, this is how it works at my house. So I decided to read Harry this story because I reckon it's kind of cool. It's a good boy story. We're reading Judges 3, verse 12. Once again, the Israelites did what was evil in the Lord's sight, so the Lord gave king of Moab control over Israel, together with the Amorites and the Amorites and a whole bunch of others. They were subject to rule under these guys for ages. Israel cried out. And so we're reading from verse 15. Israel cried out to the Lord for help. The Lord raised up a man to rescue them. His name was Ehud. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was left-handed. Do you know there's a whole website devoted to Bible stories about left-handed people, I discovered as I was researching this. It's very small. I'm not making a judgment. The Israelites sent Ehud to deliver the tax money to the king. So Ehud made himself a double-edged dagger that was 18 inches long. He strapped it to his right thigh, I like the details, keeping it hidden under his clothing. He brought the tax money to the king, who was very fat. After delivering the payment, Ehud sent home those who had carried the tax money with him. But when he had reached the stone carving, he turned back. He went back to the king and said, I have a secret message for you. So the king commanded his servants to be silent. He sent them all out of the room. And him and Ehud walked and then sat alone in a cool room upstairs. Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. As the king rose from his seat, Ehud reached with his left hand, pulled the dagger out that was strapped to his right thigh, and he plunged it into the king's belly. The dagger went so deep that the handle disappeared beneath the king's fat. So Ehud had to leave the dagger in the king, and the king's bowels emptied. Then Ehud closed the door and locked it and climbed down the latrine to escape. Now, you're 4 years old, and we've got a story of a really fat guy who gets stabbed, poos his pants, and then the other guy who stabbed him crawls down the toilet to escape. This is how I parent, right? So then what happens for the next half an hour is I stuff a pillow under my top and we get Harry's Ninja Turtle sword and he's Ehud and I'm the fat king and he stabs me and I make pooing noises and then he jumps off the couch to escape. But for the first time, Harry's engaged with the Bible. He's actually interested. He goes, Dad, is there any other cool stories like that guy who got stabbed? I go, yes, there is. I go, Harry, do you want to hear about David's mighty men? He goes, who? I go, do you want to hear about David's mighty men? He goes, all right. So then I tell him the story about David's mighty men. And the story's awesome. There's some cool stuff in there. There's a guy who, with a spear, defeats 800 warriors by himself. There's a story about a guy who stands in a lentil field and cuts down a whole battalion of enemy soldiers. Who would do that for a lentil field? I would give the lentil field up. Come over here. There's lentils. You can have it. There's the story of the guys who went and got their king a drink of water behind enemy lines. Like they just smashed the enemy, snuck into the well to get a glass of water for the king. There's the story of a guy who fought so hard that his hand cleaved to the sword, and he fought for so long that they had to peel the sword out of his hand. There's the story in there of a guy who jumped into a pit on a snowy day to fight a lion. I don't know why he did that. The Bible is very unclear on the reason for that. Did he wait till it was snowy? Did he know the lion was there? Did he just happen to be in the pit and it started to snow and the lion appeared? We don't know. What we do know is it was snowy, he was in a pit, and he killed a lion. I'm pretty sure not. I'm thinking the Bible would have mentioned that. There's all these amazing stories in there. So Harry and I have been reading cool boy Bible stories. And for the first time ever, my son is a little bit excited about the whole God thing. And so my question to you is, when was the last time you were actually excited about your relationship with God? Because he doesn't change. You change. We change. This might be the only relationship going around that is 100% your fault. If it isn't what you would like it to be, God's perfect, right? We're not. So if your relationship with God isn't quite what you think it could be or should be or has been, if you're not maybe as excited about God as you used to be, or as you know you could be, or as you might see other people being, it's on you. But the good news is, we can change that. It's not stuck like that. We can change it. And for me, this year is about getting the basics right. Getting back to that stuff that we know pleases God. Phil talked about it last week. getting back to reading the Bible, spending time in prayer, making sure that the stuff that you're watching, that you're listening to, is right. So my question would be, if you're not as excited about your relationship with God as what you have been, what have you started doing that you didn't used to do, and what have you stopped doing that you used to do? Because you can change that. Like, I think sometimes God must look at us and just shake his head as we try and scrape in a token 2 minutes of prayer as we're brushing our teeth before we race out the door. Like, how often we give God the scraps of our time instead of the best bits of our time. If I treated my wife like that, man, she would let me know about it, and has. I can remember. I'm just glad God's more gracious than my wife. Because God doesn't get angry about it. God doesn't punish me for it. Not. Not that. Shh. This is not working out well today. She's always watching. Flat. Sorry, I love you. Talking about my other wife. Oh no, that's not right either. But God doesn't get angry about it. He just waits. He just waits for us to get ourselves together and come back to him. And he will give you as much of him as you want. And the more time you make, and the more quality time you give him, and the more effort you put in, the more you get out of God, the more you experience of God. Imagine if this year you actually gave God some of your best time. If you genuinely put some time aside for him. And I'm not talking about, well, maybe for some of you, this is how you do it. You can sit for hours and just pray. I can't do that. I got like the ADHD thing. I'm all over the shop. It's a lot of agreeing. But it's finding for you what works. You know, making time to read. For me, I hear from God when I run. You know, so I need to make a choice when I run. Do I listen to music that's going to promote me hearing from God? Even though personally it's not, you know, the church music's not, doesn't really rock my world. I would never choose to listen to it. I listen to it because it's good for my heart, it's good for my relationship with God. The stuff that I would listen to when I run by choice is great, but does it stimulate and promote me hearing from God while I run? Well, in fact, it actually does the opposite. So for me, hearing from God is making a choice to play worship music and God music while I run so I can actually hear from God. Maybe for you it's sitting, maybe it's turning stuff off, or it's going for a walk, or it's, I don't know, we all hear from God in different ways and we all create space for God in different ways. But what I would encourage you to do is to get back to basics. Start this year off doing the basic stuff right and be accountable for it. Find someone that you can trust, that will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And say to them, keep me accountable to this. I'm actually going to do it. And get them to ask you about it. Because our God is a pretty exciting God. And he is limitless. That we never experience all that God has for us. And my other bit out of this, I guess, would be like, that one of the things we're called to do is to share our faith with people and to go and make disciples and to be an ambassador. And one of the things we have as our focus in this church always is trying to help people in that journey coming to know who God is, people outside the walls of this church, people you work with and your family and your friends and the people that you, parents of kids at school and all that stuff. If you're not excited about your relationship with God, why would they even be interested? if you are not pumped up about it, if they can't see that it is a great thing for you, why in the world would they be interested? And I want to challenge us all that one of the things we're called to do is to be an ambassador for Christ. That we should be excited about who God is and what he has done in our life. And I want to put the challenge out. What would happen if we got the basics right? And then for this year, we just prayed and we asked God to put one person on our heart, in our mind, that we were just going to commit to make the effort to hang out with that person, to catch up with that person, to pray for that person, and believe that throughout the course of this year, that person is going to come into a relationship with Christ. Now, I don't know about you. I've got a lot of mates that are a long way from God. And a lot of my really good mates are the sort of people that if they ever came into a relationship with God, it will be a miracle. They are the impossible kind of people. And that's cool. But somewhere I realized along the journey last year, amidst the stress and the chaos and the uncertainty and the unknown, I kind of had a lot of my focus on me and not much on them. And I realized I kind of stopped praying much for them, and I'd stop making the effort. And I'd, you know, and so for me, I've got two names that I'm praying for this year that God really spoke clearly to me about. And so right now, we're going to have a minute, and I'm going to pray that God will put a name on everyone's heart here. That he would drop someone in your mind and in your heart, and I would challenge you and encourage you to have the faith to believe that you would have the honor and the privilege of being a part of their journey this year. So why don't we just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you have a great love for us. And that same great love you have for us, you have for everyone. Lord, that you have put us strategically, Lord, in connection with people. That you have placed people around us, brought people into our world. I just ask, Lord, that in this minute, you would bring someone to our attention. That you would place someone at the forefront of each of our minds right now. Lord, I just thank you for every person that is represented here, Lord God, that every person that you have spoken to us about, Lord God, and this is so much more than being about Compass. This is about your kingdom, Lord God. This is about people's eternal destiny. This is about people coming into connection with you. And so for every person that is represented, Lord God, we just stand with them together, believing for them, praying for them. I thank you, Lord God, that you have a journey mapped out for every person that is represented here. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would provide us with windows of opportunity to help those people in their journey to come to know you. That you would provide opportunities for you to be glorified, Lord God. That you would provide windows, Lord God, where we could maybe share a little bit of our heart or a little bit of our story, Lord God, where we could practically be an example of who you are, Lord God. That you would let us be gracious to them or love them or help them or forgive them or whatever it is, Lord God. But I just pray for every person represented here, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that we are just going to stand together in faith this year and believe, Lord God, that every name represented, every face represented here, Lord God, will come into connection with you, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, for every person that is standing, that you have placed a name upon their heart, Lord. I ask that you would just encourage them, Lord God, and I pray for, Lord God, boldness. I pray for inner strength, determination, Lord God, discernment, Lord God, and that every person who is standing right now would be encouraged to actually believe that this is possible because you are involved in it. It's not an us thing, Lord God, it's a you thing. We're just a little part of the process. that we would be obedient, Lord God, when you provide those opportunities, and then you'll do the rest. Because we don't do the saving, Lord. You do the saving. We just help bring a message. So I thank you for every person represented. I thank you for every person standing. I thank you, Lord God, for communities that will be changed, families that will be changed because you will be moving. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.